Okay, this is lesson 10 in our systematic study of the book of 1 John, and it is entitled Life in Christ, Praying for the Saints, and Danger of Idols. And we'll be covering 1 John 5, 12 through 21 in this lesson, and you can find the lesson that goes along with this podcast episode on the Moral Foundations website at moral-foundations.com. Once on the website, click on the Bible Studies link and choose the book of 1 John, lesson 10, to find the content that goes along with this lesson. So let's go ahead and get started by putting these verses into plain language and make it easier to understand and to teach. Now, John starts this passage by stating that those that have the Son have life, and that those that do not have the Son do not have life. He explains that he wrote the entire book of 1 John so that those that already believed that Jesus was the Son of God would know that they did indeed have eternal life. And he was also writing to those that may be new to the gospel, so they would understand the gospel, and they would also come to believe as he believed. Now, John wanted his hearers to know that they could have confidence that anything they asked for that was according to the will of God, that he would hear them. He also says that since the saints could be confident that God could hear them, and that they would be asking for those things that were according to his will, that they would be indeed able to receive those things that they asked for. Now, John encourages his readers to pray for those fellow believers that may have committed sins through weakness, and he says that God will give these life. He then mentions that there is a sin unto death, and for this type of sin, the saints are not to pray on behalf of their fellow believers. John declares that all unrighteousness is sin, and that there are sins that are not unto death as well. He says that those that are born of God do not live in unrepentant sin, and that the evil one, meaning Satan, cannot touch them because they are under the protection of God. He says that the saints know that they are of God, and the rest of the world lieth in wickedness, or that the rest of the world is not of God and are children of the devil. John then says that he knows that the Son of God is come, and that God the Father had given the saints understanding so they would know this is true, and they are truly in him who is true, the one being Jesus Christ. He states that this is the true God and eternal life. And the last thing John says to his readers is kind of a warning. He wants them to keep themselves from idols, idols being anything that would draw them away from God or away from keeping the commandments of God, which would lead them into sin. Now let's go over some doctrines here that are found in these passages. Number one, Jesus Christ is life, and those that are in him have life, and those that are not in Christ Jesus do not have life. Number two, those that believe on the name of Jesus Christ have eternal life. Number three, God will hear and answer the prayers of the saints as long as they are praying for the things that are in agreement with his will. Number four, the saints are to pray for the forgiveness of the saints if they should fall into sin. Number five, there is a sin that is unto death, and for this type of sin, the saints are not to pray on the behalf of others. Number six, the saints do not live in habitual unrepentant sin and are protected from the evil one by God the Father. Number seven, all those outside of Christ are part of the world of wickedness. Number eight, God the Father has given understanding to the saints so they would know that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh and is true. Number nine, Jesus Christ not only gives eternal life, but he is eternal life. And number 10, the saints are to purposefully keep themselves from idols and sin. Now let's go over these doctrines to see how they may apply to our students and where they're found. Now, doctrines number 1 and 2 kind of go together. Your students should, once again, be taught that Jesus Christ is the only one that can give life to them and to others. Outside of Christ, there is no hope for them or for anyone else. All those outside of Christ abide in death and are not forgiven of their sins. These will one day stand before God, their judge, and be separated from God and life for eternity in hell. The third doctrine here, and we've discussed this at length before already with our study here in 1 John, but if the saints pray for the will of God to be done in their lives, despite the situation or their circumstance, then their prayers will be heard and answered. Now, you should discuss this with your students about what it means, mainly that they pray for help concerning the situations that they may be facing and the needs that they may have. But they need to keep in mind is that the overarching prayer is that if God is not willing to grant their prayer for relief or for help, that they are willing to accept the will of God concerning themselves. Now, you should also spend some time discussing this with your students so that they understand this, but this concept of prayer and getting what it is you pray for and praying properly is something that your students definitely need to understand. Now, number four, we are to pray for our fellow Christians. Now, the saints have been forgiven, but the process of sanctification and the power to overcome sin does take time, and the saints often will fail to obey God. Now, we are encouraged to pray that God would forgive these, and that they would be able to overcome their sins and grow in the power to resist sin in the future, and that God would help them. Now, this is an important aspect of what Jesus was teaching Peter in Matthew 18, which we've kind of covered before. In Matthew 18, 21 and 22, it says this, Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me, and I forgive him? Till seven times? And Jesus says unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but unto 70 times 7. Now after this, Jesus goes into a story about the unforgiving servant that was forgiven of his debt, but he would also not forgive others. You should also read over that in Matthew 18. But the point is that because we want God to forgive us of our sins, and we pray to God for that, we should also want God to forgive others of their sins as well. This is why John is advocating that we pray to God that he would forgive our fellow believers when they sin. The fifth doctrine here is discussing the sin unto death. The sin unto death here is not really described here by John, although Jesus Christ does make a reference to this in Mark chapter 3. Mark 3, 28 through 29 says this, Verily I say unto you, all sins shall be forgiven unto the sons of men, and blasphemies wherewith whosoever they shall blaspheme. But he that shall blaspheme against the Holy Ghost hath never forgiveness, but is in danger of eternal damnation. Now the Holy Spirit is the one that reveals to men the truth of God, and the one that brings men to belief in Jesus Christ. To deny that Jesus is the Son of God is to deny the work of the Holy Spirit. This means that the saints should pray for their fellow believers when they fall into sin and ask God to forgive them, but is not something they should do for those that are unrepentant sinners who deny that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh and those that refuse to submit to God or to keep his commandments. In other words, to make prayers to God on behalf of fellow believers is something that we should do. But we are not to ask God to forgive those that are in rebellion against God who deny God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. This is something the saints are forbidden to ask for. Those that do not confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God are not able to be forgiven by God. And the Holy Spirit is the one that reveals the truth of who Christ is and draws them to Christ for salvation. Now, I have heard many people pray that men would be saved, but this is the choice of God the Father, and the forgiveness of sins comes only to those that have faith in Christ. So we should indeed pray that God would forgive the sins of fellow believers whenever they sin against us. But to pray for the forgiveness of unrepentant men, or that God would save someone, is not something that the saints are to do. In Matthew 5, Jesus tells us that to do good to those that spitefully use us, and to pray for them. But as John has already mentioned this passage, we are to pray that the will of God be done unto those that abuse us, not necessarily that they be forgiven. This means that if these be saints, yet unconverted, that God would, through the work of the Holy Spirit, bring them to belief and forgiveness. But if they are not children of God, that God would deal with them according to his will. This is what I believe John to mean in these passages. Now, doctrines 6 and 7 also kind of go together. John is just stating that the things that have been stated pretty much the entire book of 1 John, mainly that there is a difference in deeds between the people of God and the people of the world. The deeds of each reveal who they are. Now, you should go over this again with your students to make sure they understand this. The difference between the saints and the sinners are their deeds, not necessarily their professions. Doctrines 8 and 9 also kind of go together because it is God the Father through the Holy Spirit that brings men to understanding of who Christ is, and through this belief, they are brought to faith in Jesus Christ, which gives them eternal life. This has pretty much been covered again and again throughout the book of 1 John, but once again, it's being repeated, so it is a very important doctrine, something you need to continually go over and make sure your students understand. Now, the 10th doctrine here is pretty much the last doctrine here is a warning from John. He warns the saints to keep themselves from idols. Now, the entire Old Testament is filled with examples of what this means. Basically, it means that the saints are to ensure they do not allow themselves to be drawn away from their obedience to God. They are to constantly draw close to God so that God would draw close to them. This is another way that those that are of true faith are distinguished from those that are not. Now, this concept of keeping yourselves from idols is kind of portrayed in the life of King David, because it is possible for the true believer to follow their lust rather than the commandments of God and to be drawn temporarily into sin. Now, King David is a great example because though he fell very far into sin by committing adultery with another man's wife, producing a child with her, and murdering the woman's husband, King David was still a true Christian. Now, when confronted with his sin by the prophet Nathan, David quickly confessed his sins, and he was also forgiven. But the forgiveness that he was given was eternal forgiveness, whereby he did not cease to be a child of God, but it did not remove the temporary consequences of his sins. Now, you can read more about this story of King David and his sins in 2 Samuel chapter 11, and continue reading about the many terrible temporary consequences that befell David throughout his life and afterwards. Because falling into sin as a believer will not separate you from Christ, just as King David was not separated from God. But we will pay for the consequences of our sins, just as King David did, and I encourage you to read that. They were very terrible. Being a Christian is in no way frees us to sin, just as David was also not free to sin. Now see, John's warning is something that we should discuss at length, especially with our students, as well as bring up examples, such as David's life, to explain why John would warn the saints to keep themselves from idols. The saints truly have eternal life in Christ, but their life on earth may be taken away from them, or they may undergo many horrible punishments, as King David did, if they decide to give in to their temptations to sin rather than to overcome them. Now, this is something very important to teach your students, because what it means to be a Christian is a growing power to obey God. Now, your students may fall into sin. King David did. In fact, he's a great example because he fell very, very far. But what it does show forth is the repetition of what John has explained again and again and again is that they don't stay in unrepentant sin. And King David did not stay in unrepentant sin. Now, although his sins were forgiven in eternity, the temporary consequences were absolutely severe. And the entire Old Testament is full of examples of what this is like, specifically King David. So this is something your students should understand, something you should definitely go over extensively as well to make sure that they understand this. But a growing power to obey the commandments of God is, of course, the indicator. But as John warns, God here will deal very severely with his children if they, like King David, decide to fall into sin. So it is something that they should be warned about and be very cautious and very scared to fall into sin because of what happened to King David, of course, can be paralleled to what can happen to them. Now, more questions and answers can be found on the Moral Foundations website at moral-foundations.com. And this will wrap up Lesson 10 in our study of the book of 1 John entitled Life in Christ, Praying for the Saints, and the Danger of Idols.